University of Helsinki. We have started a research project concerning open source development about 1 year ago. So I'm a new beginner in this area. This is my first project after my PhD, and actually my personal motivation to start this project was not in Linux, but in my experience with licenses at the university. I realized that some people are developing programs at the university with the university funding, and after that starting a firm and asking money for their programs. And there was one special program that I used to use, but that people make it proprietary and I have no money to use it. And make no sense at all, this idealism. That's why I involved in this, because I'm interested in this developmental model in general. The structure of my presentation is something is missing there. Okay. First I will tell about something about my general ideas. I will use concepts like contradiction, history, and everyday practices as my key concepts to approach things. I'm a social scientist and not a software engineer, so I try to understand the social and cultural in open source movement, and especially my focus is in mundane everyday practices. If you try to understand some phenomena, you have to go have a very close look at everyday practices. People are really need to understand this. And how I started my project was that I started ethnography of one in Finnish Linux user group. I'm a people of this group 1 year now. Big member participating in meetings and things like that, and I will show some examples from this Finnish Linux user group case, and after that some general conclusions. And in our research project we have in general three aspects to look at open software: economic contradictions, free software versus proprietary ones, the community aspect, new kind of open decentralized global bazaar, virtual community versus old type higher cathedral, and innovation aspect, the new development model which will restructure the relation between developer and end users. Now I will concentrate only on this community aspect. And what is interesting in Linux, I think, is at the same time technical and social political phenomenon. And you can use conceptualizing from Manuel Castells. He has concepts of mode of production and mode of development in his poor informational society. And in the case of Linux, the mode of production is set by GPL license, which means that Linux is a free open source software. Everybody can distribute it, modify it, and so on. On the other side, there is a special mode of development, which means that Linux has been developed in a different way compared to proprietary ones. It has been developed very distributed on the net, so that the end users are also developers. And now we can see that there are different interpretations in the Linux community. What's going on? Some people are saying that it's only an operating system, and what's unique and great here is the mode of development. We are doing not politics. Others are people, Stallman and others, are saying that what is unique in Linux is the mode of production. It's, without this mode of production, it's just the Unix, nothing more. Only by this mode of production it is what it is. And I think that there is an internal contradiction in, or some kind of dilemma in Linux phenomena. Everybody have to face this problem who is participating in the community. And I combine this first lesson from Cathedral and Bazaar book, where Raymond has two dimensions of freedom, and I combine this cross tabulation, and we can see that with two dimensions of freedom, we can conceptualize the different understandings of open source inside of open source movement. Here on this corner, we have commercial closed programming paradigm case, Microsoft, especially XP now. It's very, very, very closed. Very strong control, and on the left we have open and free programs. I think that was the Stallman idea at the very beginning. Free software foundation was for open and for free programs. In the development of the Linux, different interpretations of freedom and openness occur, and I think that there is a move in this direction. Open source definition is not so strict as the free software foundation. And people are talking all the time how free, how open we should be. And there is always an ongoing cultural and political dispute about that. And Ergonix is maybe here somewhere here. I have the feeling this is a very open and free. My theoretical concept could come from Michel Foucault or Fourier or so, but I'm citing here. Mr. Engström, who is the leader of our group, is presenting cultural historical theory. And his basic idea is that the fundamental societal contradictions are present in every local activity, and that the society is not a pyramid. It's a very local based system of a network of activity systems, and we are interested what's going on in the society. We have to look at local systems, putting it other way. If there is some really essential contradictions in the society, they have to be present in the local systems, which means that by studying the local systems, we can see the main contradictions of the whole society. And that's why I'm looking for Linux user groups in their everyday practice. Before that, a short picture of the whole Linux community. In the very, very beginning, there was only the kernel, Linus Torvalds, and 10 or 15 guys in Helsinki, and two in Australia, and some in California. And after that, started the diffusion of the program, the success story, and now we have over 250 distributions having their own communities developing Linux. And besides that, we have local user groups, and the number of local user groups is now about 500, and tens of thousands of people are participating in this. This line is the commercial development of Linux, and this is more the free software line where people are doing voluntary work without any salary or so on. And the last developmental line is the adaptation of Linux in the big IT business. And, I think Faraday case is IBM. There's many other big companies too. So we can, with this picture, we can see that there's makes no sense to talk about Linux community. There are many different communities related to each other somehow, and that's what I'm interested in, how these are related to each other. Before that, I show some short pictures from the kernel. Kernel, of course, usually when we read papers, we can read that there are tens of thousands of people participating in Linux project, and I think that the picture of the actual work in Linux community is a little bit romantic in journalism, and we counted the number of people participating in the kernel development, and the numbers were relatively low. And here we have the numbers are missing. This is 0, of course, 200, 400, and 1,600. And this line is the number of names in the credit files. And you can see that it's only 400. 400 or so, a little bit more. And we counted the names on the kernel development discussion list at the same time when every of these kernel versions were published. We can see that on the development list we have the highest number is about 1,600 people. And there's big changes all the time. But only some hundreds, maybe 600 people or so are talking on the list. And when we compared these two lines, we were looking at those people who are both in credit file and talking on the list. And the number was the number was in every case about 50, 60 or 70. So we can see that the active people participating in the kernel development, the number is relatively low. And that means that the openness doesn't automatically mean that there are many people participating in the process. It is only potential space to participate. Actually, the activism is accumulating only a really small number of people are doing the work. And the second table, what motivates my own selection of my research object is the number of people by contract. We can see that Linux is a very European phenomenon, which surprised me, because I had the impression that after Linux was moved to US, Linux would be a more American thing, and people would develop mostly in USA, but that's not the case. You can see that most developers are coming from Europe. And I will not talk about distributions, but about Linux user groups and some numbers about these people are in the Finnish case. We have, in August this year, we had 495 user groups in 69 countries. And these user groups are very different. And here you can see the. I've been concentrating in user groups in Scandinavia, Finland in Scandinavia, so I don't have detailed data about other European or North American or ASA crews. And here you can see the number of Linux user groups by continent. And once again, the same phenomenon. It's a European thing. Europe has the highest number of Linux user groups, it's 207, and they have almost 30,000 members. And in North America, they have only 160 and 90,000. Members, and if we look at Linux user groups by the language, we can realize that they are really local groups. 40% have published their websites in local language only, in non-English local language. And we have to remember that in this number there are local groups. Most are local groups from North America or from Britain. So Linux user groups are really local things. They try to localize Linux. And what is my interest here is how are these user groups related to these other communities, and what is the role of Linux user groups in diffusing Linux, and what kind of interactions we can find here between kernel developers and Linux business and Storm and Lightree software development. And actually, when I started this project, I had a very romantic idea in my mind that Linux user groups would have a very close connection to kernel or distribution development. And my hypothesis was that there would be a very strong line here. That was not the case, as we would show there. And, but my question is what are the actual interactions? And, sorry, I don't have a clock, so stop me if I'm using too much time. And of course, you can ask all the time when I'm presenting. And this is a good point, first good point to ask, because I'm moving to the case now. So if you have one of these general things or something. Well, thank you. It's easier to follow. Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
My impression is that the size of the Linux user groups varies enormously by country, and the Scandinavian ones are very, a single Linux user group is very big, whereas, for example, in London, you have two ones just for one city. Is that true? That the actual organisation, well, the size, there are very, very big Linux user groups in some countries.
Well, actually not.
Lots of small ones in others.
Yeah. In Scandinavia we have some really big ones, but most in Britain, in Denmark, in Germany, they're very small ones, very local. For one city only. So, but in, can show here. No. In Scandinavia we have, this is from Denmark. User group working in one island, a very small one. And then they have a Skåne shell Linux user group. And Skåne is in Sweden and Shell is in Denmark, and it's a user group working in two countries, and they have about 2,000 members. It's a very big one. They have meetings in Denmark and in Sweden, and Denmark and Sweden, and so on. But it's not very typical. The main number of members in Linux user groups in Europe is about 140. So. number is in the North America is about 100, so usually they are small ones. But the example I have is a Finnish, well, maybe one word about the concept of community. When I started my research, I realized that in every newspaper I can read, Linux Journal, Voice of the Community, and opening every web page, there's always the concept of community. And in the Linux rhetorics, the concept of community is very essential. And that's why I'm wondering what's the role of community, to be a community. And I have had a look at a general sociological discussion of communities, and there is one definition quite very well known. Communities are networks of interpersonal ties that provide sociability, support, information, a sense of belonging, and social life. I'm wondering, are Linux groups really communities in this meaning of the word? And then what is typical for communities is the transition from strong ties to weak ties, virtual communities, and networking. And this is the background to look at the case who finishes the Finnish Linux user group. And then it's atypical in that sense that it's a national group. Now it have a local activity groups, but when it started 5 years ago, it was a national informal group. They established the email list, and the group existed only as an email discussion group. They had no real life meetings and so. But in the 1999, they had the first install fest, and now it's a formal national-wide association, having about 240 formal members paying for their membership, and 99% of members are paid. Surprised me, because one of my wrong hypotheses was that the Linux communities could be not so masculine than high business user, but that's not true. There's much more women in high-tech business in Finland than in Linux communities. And it's a strange phenomenon. Somebody could tell me why this is so. The main activity of the group is the email list. It has about nowadays 1,400 subscribers, and I followed this list 1 year, and on this 1 year period they had about 300 active participants. 9 were bot mail users. Now they have regular meetings every month, and at least one Linux demo day every year, a bigger one. And they started 1 year ago a campaign, Linux Go Schools, which is really active now, and Finnish schools are planning to move to use Linux, and we have already tens of schools have done this. And here is my first data. I first followed one year period on this email list, and there was 3,250 messages and 260 threads on the list during the first year I was reading it. And here we can see the same phenomena as in the kernel. It's only very small group of people who are really active on the list. And now, once again, we have to ask, where is the community? Where is the lines, folders of the community? Who are really belonging to the community? Are all those 1,500 people only reading the list? Are they members of the community? And if they are doing research on the community, how can we reach these people. So my solution is that was that I focused only those who have sent some, at least one message on the list, and focused just made the decision that these persons are the part of the community, which I'm researching.
I can just go back to the newsletter. I saw a number of LDP regular meetings. I don't know LDP, what's LDP?
Linux Demo Day.
Linux?
Linux Demo Day.
Which is this?
It's big message also. No, it's they have presentations, lectures, distribution. I'm presenting there, and I will show you pictures. But Linux Demo Day is actually an international happening. You have in Berlin two Linux Demo Days. They usually organize the international, so that it's a campaign having a Linux Demo Day. Promoting Linux. Well, this is sociological stuff. Maybe not very interesting. I first classified all messages by four main topics, identified the threats, and identified main groups of discussion participants. And after that, I did some thick description of discussion peaks. And here, the first result is here. Oh. Discuss the topics by month, and this is the health topic. People are discussing only how to install Linux, how to use it. Or it's not only Linux, it was interesting that it was maybe about open source, how to use Apache Linux, how to install Samba or things like that. But the technical health, technical aid. Second topic was discussions about the organization itself, what shall we do, should we organize a meeting or things like that. Would somebody be interested to drink beer with me this evening at 9 o'clock, things like that. And this is the political and ideological discussion about the nature of Linux as an operating system and as a political phenomena and other things spans and so on. But what we can see here is that the main function of the community is not political one. It's to give a technical support to for other Linux users. And this was the first thing. But a little bit surprised me because I had in my mind sociological picture of the conflicting phenomena having a political dynamics. It's not very political, it's a technical, it's an operating system, not politics. And then, but there are also these political and cultural dynamics, but they are not so strong sense of belonging. And social political identity are discussed also on the list all the time. The basic function is the technical aid. And how to analyze this kind of discussion? It's not possible to read carefully 2,000 messages. So the function of this table is to find peaks in the discussion and analyze only these peaks. So maybe this way you can get some peaks of what's going on. And the first peak is here, the discussion concerning function of the activities of the group itself. And when I looked at these discussions in 2 months, it was a really, really easy explanation why there is a peak. Before that, the group was informal group, and they had only the emails. But in one evening in July 2000, there was a message at least, come on, we are sitting in a bar, but and we will do a decision and in 50 minutes to organize this as a formal association. Please come in, join us. And people from Lapland and other cities were really angry. How you guys in Helsinki can do that? Is this an open model in organization? And they had a really big dispute 2 months about that. Only after this dispute they could establish a formal association. And the second thing we can see here is in discussion about the nature of in November and December 2000. And the first one was about the software patents, and something was going on in Finland. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they were discussing how to relate to this patent discussion. But the second one was a dispute between young and old hackers inside the group. This is an interesting one. And I will show some examples, which I hope will illustrate what kind of group it is. I will skip this technique. This is only one thread having 97 males, 34 participants, and it continued 2 weeks. So it's not a typical thread. Threads are usually they have 10 males and continuing 2 or 3 days. But this was a big dispute, and it started when somebody sent it a mail recommending to visit a Finnish Linux new portal and. But it transformed to dispute about the nature of programming Linux. Yes, the whole thing. Has anybody noticed the portal Linux only? It seems to be quite promising. I recommend everybody to visit. And the second answer, I have been there and even sometimes produced a few pieces of news on that portal, but the site is so amateurish and the language skills of the editors is so weak that it doesn't impress at all as a portal. And there is nothing special, typical discussion, but next move. Tell me, old gentleman, is Linux itself created by professionals or by amateurs? So many times have you noticed how much better the programs written by amateurs are compared with proprietary ones. So a little bit amateurship should be accepted, at least in our circles. In these circles, only so-called amateurs are professionals, and professionals are bunglers or butterfingers, and so on. You can't learn these things at school at all. And the expression, old gentleman, the Finnish word is papa. It's not easy to translate in English. Maybe opa is German, something like that. This was an irritation for some people, and it started a dispute between young and old. In the discussion, one of the young hackers wrote that I'm only 70 years old, and I have to go to, in my humble opinion, totally futile high school, and then was claiming that it makes no sense because he's ready to start his own firm and the society is not ready for the intelligent guys as he is. So, and the old gentleman replies, don't dress yourself in the sack. High school math and physics are a real good base for programming. And another comment, high school is for general education. Coding of a program is not separated from the real life, on the contrary. I will show no more examples. It was a really interesting discussions, and there were many tensions in the thread. And these tensions are typical all the time in the discussion inside the group. There are different opinions of what to be professional means, amateurship and professionals, and to be skilled and to work as in wage labor position, and the contradiction between young and old, well, it's a relative taking that people in the age of 30 years are old ones. Once when I showed them a pictures from one their meeting, and there was a 25 years old guy and said, "Here one young boy is talking." They stopped, "Oh, he's very old." But you can say he's young. And the dimensions of the politics are interpreted different way. What is open, what is closed, what means freedom and control. And especially the concept of learning is interpreted different way. There is a very strong opinion that only self-learning without formal education is coaching, and some others are saying that you have to have a formal education to be a good programmer. So, after that I had a look at the different subgroups in this discussion, and I was able to identify real-life activists, means people who are participating in social meetings, and online activists, people who are present only on the list but never come to meetings. And we have two really active groups, real-life activists and online activists, and passive, not-so-active people on the list, and they have big interests. You can see that the people who are sending over some mails, they are mostly asking help to use Linux, but they are not interested in the activities of the user group or in the nature of Linux. And this is self-evident that real life activists are interested in the activities of the group, because they are by definition the people who are organizing these meetings. But this is interesting that the online activists are more interested in politics than those who are organizing these meetings. So it means that the meetings are more social than political functions. Those who are interested in politics are not so much interested in social life in this group. This was interesting finding. And after that, if I would limit my research only on the list, I think that I would not understand what's going on in the group, and that's why I'm the member, the active member in the group, doing ethnography all the time, participating in the meetings and so on. I try to combine the analysis of the discussion of the list and the description of these actual events and what kind of local practices they have. They have Linux demo days, at least one a year, monthly meetings. They have a nice Finnish, new Finnish word, niitti, combining English and Finnish, which is typical in Finnish IT business in general. They are not speaking any more Finnish, but it's not English too, it's a combination in English and Finnish words. What is interesting that they have at least one excursion to Valamo in a year. Valamo is the only one monastery in Finland, Orthodox monastery, and they are going there having 2-3 days. And I don't know why it is so, but one reason may be that the Valamo monastery use only Linux programs, and it's a very Linux oriented. And what is interesting in general, that the Orthodox people are interested in Linux in Finland. We have many, many Orthodox persons on this group, and they are participating very actively. They have the Linux for Schools campaign, and now it's a new practice to have user meetings, technical user meetings to pay people. Some pictures how it started, and this was the first install test 99. You can see that this is the same stuff everywhere if you have a look at the install test pictures from Germany or from France. So it's always the same. Young boys are installing programs in the next year. KDE 2.0 came out, and Envoy is presented. Envoy is presenting it here, and the same stuff all the time. What is interesting here is that you can see young woman sitting there and learning Linux, and actually there are no women in this group, but in every demo day there are many and women asking what is this program and so on, and because of that they are publishing always after the demo day a series of pictures on the net, and always they have a series and where are both young men and women, and you would have the impression that women are also participating. It's not true. If you look at me, this is there are four young men sitting in a restaurant drinking beer. Meet continues. Here is the Linux guy from the monastery, Brother Victor. And they are still drinking beer, and just before the last call. They are working. They have papers on, but they are drinking beer and talking, and so all the time. So this was also against my hypothesis about the nature of Linux user groups. They are not nerds. They have really strong social ties and are doing things together, having fun together, and so on. But what is strange is that only men are participating in this social meetings. It's really, really masculine culture, subculture. It surprised me all the time. So, some conclusions. First, about this special user group, and then some more general conclusions. What I found out was that the Finnish Linux user groups is a community of active and highly skilled Linux users, and you can say that the user group has an education function. It's a place to learn Linux. This is one of its basic functions. And although it is a Finnish language organization, it is very closely connected with the global internet networks. It has some kind of translation function. And usually the aid or help is goes so that somebody asks, can you tell me why Linux is problems in installing or using an Apache or so, can somebody help me? And the typical answer is, have a look at, and there is 5 or 10 websites, and all these websites are in English. So this is one bilingual community, and to participate in it means that you have to understand English. So it's a it had to have, because it is Finnish language group, it have also translation function. There are some people who don't knowing this very well, so they can ask, can you explain in Finnish and so on. But it has a function to make translations between Finnish and English and make moving from local to virtual possible. And what is interesting is that the Finnish, at least the Finnish user group, is politically very moderated. It is Linux group instead of GNU Linux, and they don't have any political campaigns at all. For example, 1 year ago, Microsoft had a big campaign in Finland, and young radical hackers planned a demonstration against Microsoft at the Olympia Stadium. But they had a dispute at least, and the papas, the old gentleman, said, no, it's not totally, absolutely, definitely not possible. We will not demonstrate against Microsoft. We are not a political organization. I think that the reason for that is that so many are planning to move in business, and they are worried about their own image. If it's too political, they will have problems to find a work. There are online real-life activists as well as radical moderate hackers. And what is going all the time is that the meaning of Linux is constructed in continuous debates between these groups. There is no stable definition of meaning for Linux in this group. They are all the time discussing what it is, how open it should be, how free it should be, and so on. They are working with their identity all the time. And about the relations with other communities, my assumption was that there would be a strong interaction here, but actually there is no. They are only reading information about kernel and institution development and use. Then there is a strong interaction between free software projects in the public sector, in schools, polytechnics, universities, and so on. And then there is a movement from this group to Linux businesses. And, my hypothesis is that when they start, they come here, they are young radicals, and then they move to business and add up to moderate old gentleman role. And what is interesting is that they usually they are not moving in the big companies, but they are establishing their own small firms. And in these firms, they are using the networks they have created in this group. So, and somebody starts a small firm, he can recruit new people in this group from this user group, using this network for this very long time. So, and it means that there is a new type of networked enterprises or firms inside ITC business. Of course, somebody are moving to IBM, and so I think that the main form is to small companies, small enterprises, and that they have very little political access. Sometimes say something about patents or things like that, and that they have only one or two public Linux demo days. So the public distribution, it is not the main function. And on the more general level, I would say that I try to generalize. The Linux community is not a one community, it's a complicated network of different communities, many types of communities. And what is essential, I think, is that these communities are at the same time virtual, and they are anchored very strongly in local social activities. But what is interesting is that there are different subgroups. Some people are participating in these communities because they are participating in the local social activities, and some are participating only on the virtual online discussions and so on. But without these local activities, social activities, these groups were not possible. Because the people who are establishing these social activities are those who are organizing everything in this group. So they are not only virtual, but it's a combination of traditional social activity and virtual community. Linux user groups are an essential part of the whole network making Linux possible. They are translators between developers and lead users, offering an arena for local articulations of the meaning of Linux. The last Linux communities are not simply open and decentralized. This is what we can read in every journal, that open source development is a decentralized and open movement, but actually it is not. You can see that on every level, the activities are really concentrated and accumulated. There are always a small group of active people and very, very large group of passive people only looking at what's going on. These groups have their own hierarchies and divisions of work. And they are led by a rather small group of activists. And what is interesting is that we actually don't know very well the logic of these hierarchies and these divisions of labor. And nobody has described very well in detail how the kernel group works and what is the real division of work inside of this group. And same kind of hierarchies are inside of local groups. And maybe this is one direction where I will move next to try to have a more detailed picture about the organizational forms, how these groups are working. Thanks.
Do you want to take questions now?
In the original free software foundation definition, it it's the openness, closeness, tightness. But there is question of community form of the software product, and this is an analytical dimension. How to combine the community form with the openness? It's an analytical problem, because if you sell something, you usually have to close it, because it makes no sense. And I think that maybe this, if this is not a good picture, I change it. what I try to do is to make analytical clear what kind of problems people are facing in developing open source. And they have to face the question of money, and they have to face the question of openness. And they can give different answers in both, yes, on both dimensions. That's the only thing what I try to make clear here.
When you lose the different foundation, would be close to conversion, so when they're not.
Yeah, okay.
They're close to close.
Yeah, okay, but
so
it's just by
passion of the picture.
Yeah. I think that there are real contradictions between free software and open software that you use. So that if you read Storm says, what is essential is to develop free society, not to develop software. And if you read Linus Torvalds, he says, what is essential is to develop a good operating system. Don't speak politics at all. This is not a political view. And they have totally different understanding what's going on if you compare to Torvalds and Storm. And Torvalds is talking always only from the mode of development. He's interested in the mode of development. And Storm is interested in mode of products. Customers. There are many other comments and questions.
From a social scientist point of view, I would be very interested in your experience in research methods. I saw you were analyzing manifests.
Yeah.
What about the other usual methods of trying to put research?
Yeah. Did you find that useful? Yeah, in our research group, our basic approach is the triangulation of data and methods, which means that we are using both quantitative and qualitative analysis, and that we are combining email list analysis with analysis of documents, and by doing heavy field work. So I've been about 25 times participating in meetings. I have been in any Linux demo days in stuff based in Finland and so on. But I think that because this kind of community, it's so complicated by definition, because it's open. It's not possible to have a realistic picture of this community only using by one method. You have to combine different methods and different kinds of data. And, it's a really interesting way to do it, but it takes really time. It's sometimes a little bit boring to classify thousands of messages by quantitative criteria. But this is basically our approach.
Yeah, it was just you're in a way in the middle of a debate about the nature or the kind of what it is, and almost it seems as if you were taking sides in the debate.
Absolutely not.
I think that there is reason to have a table like this, but you should be very careful with the way you use the term free, because, I mean, Stockholm, as you mentioned, would be very close to
Yeah. Maybe I have to move this from so. And leave only the primates as people who do self. But what I'm trying to do is to develop analytical dimensions by which we could analyze the situation of the field, not to participate in political debates, but to make analytically more clear what's really going on. It's a really good comment. I have to think about it because you have totally different impression from this picture as I have. I have to think about it.
And the other thing is that I was wondering, is it not because we were talking about the oral group, the family group, we have a oral group, you were resembling, I would be arguing that this is typical of most social communities. And I don't think it's difficult to concur with developers or users or any other or groups who are examining. I think you have this in sports clubs and whatever social arrangements that we inform that has both the right to make decisions and responsibility for promising as well.
All right. The only thing to talk about this is that usually you can read in Linux open source discussions the descriptions in which people are saying this is a different kind of community. It's quite just like any other communities. Same kind of structures. There are also specific structures and divisions of work. We have to do more work to be able to describe.
Possibly it's slightly misleading to take one particular community, the user group, and say because there are some organisers, therefore there's hierarchy. In my case, and I think probably most people's cases, I'm probably involved in maybe 10 different groups like this.
Yeah.
Some I'm completely periphery, I have a post, others I go to meetings.
Yeah.
Some I don't go to meetings because it's international, because I'm central, some I'm nowhere near. So I'm not sure if that doesn't negate the idea of hierarchy a bit. When the same person is, it's not always one person is in the centre of every group. Everybody can be in the centre of something. But you don't see it when you only look at one organisation.
You're totally right. You're totally right. And that's why we have to move to comparison. But for technical reasons, it takes a little bit of time because I'm doing this alone this time, and if I'm using the approach I have, it takes 1 year to describe one group. And you're absolutely right, because people can be in all communities, and there are big functions here, and only after analyzing all these communities, you can actually say what are the hierarchies, and after that it have to be much more complicated. Maybe, I don't know.
We're talking about the openness of the group, or that it would be very open to any new business, and then probably wondering like where are the borders. And if people could say that this is defined by knowledge, that, I mean, this is a question I had on a personal experience, using some of these alias or help or advice. My impression is really that it's a kind of, like, if the whole thing around free software is when I would term help or self-help, I mean, they offer you the knowledge is necessary, but you have to learn some of it before you can integrate into the group, then take the next step. And I debate with these people, I think membership is really defined by knowledge. Shared knowledge.
Yeah, this is really interesting. But it's not only knowledge, but it's also by some cultural identity. you have to have some idea of open software or free software before you are motivated to come in. And so there are two boundaries, knowledge and identity. And only those people who are interested in free software are coming in, but they have to be competent users. They have to know something already. It's not easy to step in this community. And the second condition, the political identity, it's a paradox, because they are talking about openness, but the condition to come to the group is to have some political identity also. So it's not open in this sense. It's open for those who are interested in this kind of things.
And it's related to that. You're looking at the mailing list of topics that are discussed. If you look at topics that aren't discussed, I mean, some topics that there is a convention should not be discussed on the list. For example, in my experience, it is on this time, in this kind of group, it is okay to talk a little bit about work or jobs if there is a job available, but it should not be a big discussion. You can post one letter, one mail, but unless there's something, unless people are discussing what you did wrong, there aren't 50 follow-ups. It should just be a brief announcement, there is a job available, or I'm out of work, does anybody know, please mail me off the list. So that topic shouldn't be on the list. Maybe there's a little bit, it's something I didn't think about before, but maybe part of the absence of politics is that there's a feeling it might be too divisive to discuss too much, so it shouldn't be on the list. So does that then appear in the real life? Is there some way you can do the equivalent of what you do with the mailing list where you're counting things? With the real life meetings where you're counting discussions, what do people talk about there?
Yeah.
And is it different from what's talked about on the list or just the same again?
Yeah, there are really strict rules on what is possible to discuss on the list. No advertisement, no talking about the job possibilities and no discussions about viruses and so on. That's really strictly regulated. And people are accepting very well these rules. This explains that's the reason why it was so easy to organize these messages, because they have the strict rules. And of course, if you look at the discussions in the meetings, people are talking every possible things. And what is interesting in that they are talking some topics concerning Linux and open source, which are never talked on the list. Security and things like that.
Why? Do you know why you don't talk about security?
I don't know. The second topic is the question of how to leave. Should I go to big business or establish my own? It's an everyday question of money and living. Things like that. I have to compare it.
So is it actually possible to do that, to sit there in the meeting and count 5 minutes then talking?
No, it's not possible for me because I'm a member of the group and I never carry a video camera or recorder with me because it's a confidential discussion. I never them. So because I will ask them on survey later some things and then my strategy have to be that I have to be a member, I have to be become known, become one of the group, and only after that I can do a survey, because usually people don't answer online surveys. It's not just we heard yesterday, it's not easy to do. And that means that I'm not able to do that kind of number of having regardless and so on. Maybe some other of our group will be made, that I have only impressions of discussion. So it's not a data that I could analyze it in detail. I can only describe it as a narrative.
I was just wondering, I don't know if you had any capacity in some research on the personal experience, how much influence do you think like the Finnish identity has on the Finnish user groups, because or the Finnish perception talking about analysis? I was just thinking it probably there would be national differences, for example, given the fact that Niels Hollands is Finnish. That what he's saying is probably even more important to Finnish users than what the other people are saying, and you know the way in which Linux is criticized is probably different in different countries. I would be thinking that probably this would be more of a more variety of like for explaining why the term Linux is used and not Unix, and probably the political aspect, but if you have this combination, do you think it could be
well, what surprised me is that Linus Torvalds is another big name in this group. Richard Storm is Alan Cox, John Patrick Paul, maybe Alan Cox is the most impressive. So Linus Torvalds says nothing. Just clown. Because he's the leading person in this movement, and he can't take part in this. If you ask him, you know, what you think about this, well, it's okay. Works. I like it. But he never says he did or take part. And that's why people are not interested in Raymond and Storm and Paul are something to say, really, and speaking, and these people are visiting Finland. What is good is that because Linux Torvalds is a Finn, it's really easy to get people in Finland in Linux festivals or demo days or seminars and so on. That's why these people also meet in demo days and so on. These big names. I think it's really strange combination to like Storm but to be totally apolitical. Yeah, it's a really easy to compromise all the time. That's why I think investing in this Swedish product. I hope we get funding to the next round. Compare the groups.